Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Beya Daf Tesvav. We begin 7 lines from the top of the Amud. May one send a gift to his friend on Yom Tov? Mishnah says, yes you can, provided it's a small scale, not with a group of people where it appears like they're going to the marketplace. So if it fits the decorum of Yom Tov, that's okay. Now, what type of material? What's the item that you're going to send? We had a machlekes, could be a shamai. It needs to be something which is ro'i for today. As the mission says, ein mishalchen b'Yom Tov ela monos, ready-made food which is meant for Yom Tov. Whereas going to be a silol doesn't have to be something which is going to be consumed today. It needs to be something which is edible, something which is useful. But as long as it has some use, even though it's not meant for today, you can send it on Yom Tov. So Mishnah tells us you can send clothing, material. Avaloi sandal hamesumar. You can't send this specific type of sandal. Sandal which has many pegs, nails on it. Why not? Sandal hamesumar, my time aloi. What's wrong with this? Sandal mishamasa shehoya digmar Shabbos. Explains that the Chacham disallowed use of this sandal on Shabbos or Yom Tov on account of a story, an unfortunate event which happened when there were Yisrael hiding in a cave, they were hiding from the oppressing regime, and they heard some commotion outside, and they thought the oppressors were pursuing them, discovered their whereabouts, and they scrambled and they trampled upon each other with these pegged, nailed sandals and injured and killed each other. So they made a takana not to wear it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So since this item cannot be worn on Yom Tov, it should not be sent as well, because if you're going to send it, people will think, well, you can wear it as well. So this thing is not meant to be used on Yom Tov, cannot be sent. Amar Abai, sandal hamesumar asur l'nali. Although you may not wear this sandal, umutar l'tatla, but you could move it. It's a kli. So wearing is an asr, but using it is mutar. Asr l'nali, you may not wear it, mishum asr shehoy, on account of that unfortunate event. However, mutar l'tatla, you may use it, you may move it around, because it's a kli. It's not mukta. Perhaps it's something intended for Issa, because wearing is asr, but it's like a kli, it's like a hammer, which you may use for other purposes as well. The tzorach gufa, the tzorach mekaymai. It's not considered a useless item. Has a bayan know this? Perhaps there's room to think that if an article of clothing like a shoe or sandal cannot be used for its intended purpose, perhaps it's called muktzeh machmas gufa, totally useless, and cannot be moved at all. The raya is from our Mishnah, Miktoni, the Mishnah says, ein mishalchen. On Yom Tov, you may not send this sandal over to a friend, because it can't be used on Yom Tov. And these alkadaitich asal atatla, if you would contemplate that this thing is actually a muktzer, hashal atatuli asal, look, if you can't even move it, mashalchem ebay, you need to tell me that you may not send it, you can't even move it. Apparently, no, it's a kli, you can move it around, but just don't wear it. V'leminol she'el ene tafer, Mishnah says you cannot send an unfinished shoe, an unsewn shoe. Pshita, of course. Why would you think you can send it? It's worthless. It's something that can't be used on Yom Tov. It's not right for anything. We're speaking about a shoe which is although not properly sewn, but it's being held together with pegs, with clips. So perhaps since it can provide some improvised temporary use, it's considered roi. No, it's not really a proper shoe. There's no point in sending it. Rabbi da imar af lo min alavan, nor a white colored shoe. Undyed. Tanya rabbi da matir b'shachar, allow sending a black shoe, vayse b'alavan, not a white shoe. Min mishet zorech, beitzes ha-gir, you need to use a clump of this gir mud, this black mud used to dye the leather. So since it needs its craftsman, this fellow to actually dye it, and at this point, it's not something that somebody would use. There's no point in sending it on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yisrael B'Shachar, he says even a black one can't be sent. Because it needs to be smoothed out and sanded out. There's no machlokes between Rabbi Yisrael and Rabbi Yehuda. Marki Asrei, one man Amar was reflecting his makim. Marki Asrei, the other Shita, was simply expressing the minig of his makim. What do you mean? Ba'asrei the Mar. In Rabbi Yehuda's location, Bisrael Sachas, the flesh side of the skin, was facing downward inside the shoe, in which case the outer surface of the leather of the skin of the shoe was smooth. So if it's black, it's finished. You don't have to smooth it out any further. Basri de Mat, whereas in Rabbi Yossi's locale, Bisrael El, the flesh facing surface of the leather was facing outward, so the exterior surface of the shoe was raw and bumpy, and it to be smoothed out. So unless he does that before Yom Tov, the shoe is as yet useless and cannot be sent around on Yom Tov. Zakal, this is the general rule as far as gifting on Yom Tov. Kol shana oisin bo biyom tov. Anything which can actually benefit from on Yom Tov can be sent as well. Rav Sheshes shorul rabbanon. Rav Sheshes allowed the rabbanon yishturi tefillin b'yametava to send around tefillin on Yom Tov. Amalei Abaye, Abaye turns to him. Vanan tnan kol shen oisin may be Yom Tov mishalchan oisin. Mishnah clearly says you can only send something which can use on Yom Tov, and we know that tefillin are not meant to be worn on Yom Tov. Rashi says tefillin is an ois, a sign of a bond between a yid and Hashem, as opposed to during Shabbos and Yom Tov where the Zman itself is the biggest ois, the biggest flag, the biggest sign of our commitment to Hashem, our relationship with Hashem. You don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so what's the heter to send it on Yom Tov? And says the Gemara, no. We have to correct our interpretation of the Mishnah. Hachi Kama, the Mishnah simply means as follows. Kol shana oisin by bechoil, any item that can provide use and benefit during the weekday, so it's a finished, completed item, Mishachan, I said, it can be sent on Yom Tov as well, but even though it's not something that's going to be worn today and used today, that's mutter as well. Why? Why is it Tzerech Yom Tov? So Tosis in Shabbos explains, you're giving the recipient Hana, you're providing Simcha Yom Tov, giving him a gift generates Simcha, it gladdens his heart. Look, I received a gift which I can use tomorrow, the next day, even though I'm not going to use it today, but it's a finished item. Tefillin. Clothing, etc. Even though I'm not going to use it today, but generate simcha as Yom Tov, and that in itself, to make Yid happy on Yom Tov, that's called Tzerach Yom Tov. Interesting to point out that the Hagoras HaShri brings a right from our Mishnah that you meant to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Why? The Mishnah says you can send Kalim, this is on towards the bottom of Yidal and Beis, Mishalchan Kalim, etc., etc., Vein LeTzerach HaMoed. Because it's providing shimush on moed. It's for moed use. Now the Gemara says you can send tefillin on Yom Tov. The first day Pesach, Yom Tov, you can send tefillin. Why? Because although you're not going to use it today, it can provide use during the weekdays. But the Mishnah says it has to be l'tzerach hamoed. How is tefillin l'tzerach hamoed? It says the goyis hashri for chol hamoed. So apparently, tefillin are meant to be one chol hamoed. The Bahag disagrees. He says, L'tzerach HaMoed does not mean that the tefillin itself will provide Hana on the Moed and Chol HaMoed. The fact is that sending a gift gladdens the heart, is Mishameach, the recipient, and that's called L'tzerach HaMoed. Actually, it's a Tosfos in Moed Katan that goes through both sides of this Shaila, whether or not you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And the question really revolves around the point of ois. Tefillin provides ois, that sign of connection between Yid and Hashem, and Shabbos and Yom Tov has its own ois. The question is Chol HaMoed, since really you can do Malacha Chol HaMoed. The question is to what extent is it an expression of an ois? So on the one hand you can say it's not like Yom Tov, it's not like Shabbos, and you have to wear tefillin. On the other hand, Tosfos says the fact is you have matzah on Pesach, the fact you're eating the sukkah on Sukkot, the fact is that you generally refrain from Malacha and Chol HaMoed. Perhaps that is enough to provide that ois between a Yid and Hashem. and no tefillin should be worn. Of course, there are many minhagim regarding wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Continues the Gemara. Amar Abai, tefillin. No, once we're discussing the concept of tefillin, maybe we milsa. Allow me to give you another halacha regarding tefillin. This tefillin was arriving from a trip. Well, tefillin Roshi wearing tefillin. With shakal of cham, it's erev Shabbos, and suddenly he sees sunset. It's Shabbos. He's not meant to wear tefillin on Shabbos. So what does he do? He's still on the road. He doesn't want to leave the tefillin behind and allow them to get lost and be bezoyin. Maniach yodaleim, he can place his hand on his tefillin to conceal it from public view. Achim Megillah based until he arrives home and then takes it off. So although he's walking through the street and he's carrying the tefillin, Rashi explains, it's not really a direct act of carrying. It's derech malbush. It's, so to speak, la'achar yad. And therefore, on account of zilzal of the tefillin, of bezoyin of the tefillin, to salvage his tefillin, he can go ahead and continue wearing them until he gets home, as long as he keeps it private. This way, you don't run the risk of creating an impression that you could put on tefillin on Shabbos and Yom, hide it and get home. He's sitting in the Beis Medrash. In those days, Beis Medrash was out in the field. Tefillin b'roish, wearing tefillin. And suddenly Shabbos arrives. Maniach yodei aleim, here as well. Cover the tefillin, Asher magei lebeis, until he gets home and takes it off. So according to Abaye's version, you can wear them all the way until you get home and then take them off. Masiv Rav Huna Breder of Ika, listen to this price. Hayubab Derech. He's arriving from a journey. Utfilm Beroshi wearing tefillin. Bekidush Shal Yoyim. Suddenly it's Shabbos. Maniach Yodei Alein. So he covers his tefillin. Ad Shemagia LeBayis HaSamach HaChoyma. Until he arrives. That first house within the city next to the Choyma. At the first possible opportunity. He's meant to remove his tefillin and deposit it into that first home where it's safeguarded. He has no heter to bring it actually all the way to his home. Likewise, you're sitting in the yeshiva, v'kiddush al yoyim, Shabbos arrives, maniach yodei alein. So he covers his tefillin, asher magei lebayis hasamachach beis hamedrash. Until he arrives to that first home where he can place the tefillin for safekeeping, but he can't actually carry it all the way home. As opposed to a bayu allows you to carry it all the way home. Like Kasha, the answer is it depends on the circumstance. Hodim mintra. The Bryce says deposit it at the first possible opportunity, speaking words, probably safeguarded it. It's a secure location. Hodim mintra, whereas a bayu is speaking where it's not a safe place to keep tefillin. So there's no point in leaving them there. Rather, wear them until you get home. Idle mintra. If it's not going to be secure there, why discuss a case where he's actually wearing the tefillin and you allow him to continue wearing the tefillin until he gets to a safe location? This halacha would apply even if the tefillin are sitting on the floor. So he encounters tefillin on Shabbos or Yontif on the floor. But if it's not a safe location, you can pick them up, put them on, and walk with them through the Shisurabim. So it's not only if you're already wearing it from before Shabbos. You can actually initiate on Shabbos as well to save this tefillin from bezayin. That's not, listen to this Mishnah, Maseches Erevin. Hamoyed say tefillin. If one encounters tefillin out in the open, machnison zug, he can bring them back home. He can transport them to a safe location, one pair at a time, even on Shabbos. So it's lav dafk if you're actually wearing them before Shabbos, they would just allow it to continue wearing them. If it's a place which is not minta, which is not shomer, you can even pick them up and transport them on Shabbos. Says Malay Kasha, it depends what circumstance we're speaking about. Ha de mintra machmas ganvi machmas kalvi. Remember we had that stira between Abayu says, carry them all the way home, wear them all the way home, and the Abayu says, dropped them at the first house. The Braisa was speaking with that first house is a properly secured and safe location. Mintra machmas kalvi, safe from ganovim. Umachmas kalvi, from dogs and animals. In that case, you meant to deposit them in that home. Why take them further? As opposed to Abayu says, take them all the way home, is speaking, ha, the mintra machmas kalvi. Was speaking that any other location other than his home, is certainly protected from dogs and creatures and animals, but not protected from ganav, might come and tamper with the tefillin. And therefore, Abaye says, take them all the way home, where it's certainly secure and safe. Mal detema, what's the chiddush of Abaye? What would I think otherwise? Perhaps I would say, roiv listing l'Yisrael ninu. You afraid about ganavim? In a Jewish community, most ganavim are Yisrael. V'leim azal zlibu. And Yisrael, even a robber, yeah, the Yiddish heart, he's not going to degrade the tefillin. Kamashman, says Abaye, no, v'choshesh. And something might want to happen with them, and perhaps the Ganav will think he's hiding some treasures inside the tefillin. In any case, don't rely on the good nature of the Jewish robbers. Kamash Malon, take them all the way home, where they're safe from all external elements. So we have three possible locations, three possible scenarios. We have where it's shomer, completely safeguarded from ganavim, from dogs. In that case, leave them alone. There's no heter to pick them up on Shabbos, or if you happen to be wearing them, deposit them at that first opportunity, a place which is shomer lagamrim. If we're dealing with tefillin which are totally exposed to elements, animals, and people, in that case, of course, take them and hide them. You can even pick them up and put them on Shabbos, transport them through the street till you get to a safe location. In a case where you have one element, not the other, it's partially secure from klavim, from animals, but not from ganavim. And even if it's a case where you could assume it's Jewish robber that we're speaking about, in that case, as the Gemara, you can still keep them on you until you get to a secure location. But in this case, where it's really partially secure, right, it's only exposed to the ganavim and not to the klavim, although when you're wearing them, we allow you to continue wearing them till you get to a secure location, but if it's sitting on the floor, that much we don't allow. To go and pick them up, initiate, put them on and carry them, since it's already partially secure, to actually pick them up and put them on, which really creates that impression that you can wear tefillin on Shabbos, etc., that much we don't allow. So if it's fully exposed, fully hefker, anything's allowed. If it's fully secure, leave it alone. If it's partially secure, if you're wearing them, continue wearing them. Otherwise, leave them alone. Hadran lach beya. Continues the Mishnah. Yom Tov shecholius erev Shabbos. Yom Tov falls out erev Shabbos on a Friday. Le'yivasha betchila. So he wants to prepare for Shabbos. Can you go ahead and cook Shabbos food on Yom Tov on Friday? Le'yivasha betchila miyom tov l'Shabbos. You can initiate Shabbos preparations on Yom Tov. What then? He can go ahead and cook some food for Yom Tov's sake. Him ha'isir, if he has some left over, ha'isir l'Shabbos. Right, then it's for Shabbos. In fact, even l'chatchila can do that. As long as you're not initiating a new dish, a new pot, but to enlarge the quantity for the sake of Shabbos, that's mutter. We have another solution to this problem. Erev Tavshilim. He can go ahead and establish a tavshil, cook something before Yom Tov, and set that aside as his erev tavshil, and rely on that to enable him to cook for Shabbos' sake, even on Yom Tov. Now, we're meant to know that before we get involved in erev tavshil, there are really two concerns here. Firstly, how can you go ahead and cook on Yom Tov for a day which isn't Yom Tov? Echel Nefesh is mutter for today, but not for Shabbos, not for a weekday. So the Gemara elsewhere discusses this. The Gemara says that, according to one opinion, we apply the concept of hoyil. Hoyil means, even if you know you don't need this food today, but perhaps some guests might arrive, you'll have to feed these unexpected guests the food that you're cooking today. So min ha-Torah, we don't consider this to be a malacha. Theoretically, technically, you're preparing food for Yom Tov. If somehow some guests would arrive, you would need it for Yom Tov. So technically, it's not considered a malacha. There's another opinion in the Gemara. It doesn't use the concept of hoyel since. No, we don't say since. The fact is, you're doing it for Shabbos. You're not doing it for today. You don't need it any longer for today. So what then? Shabbos and Yom Tov are really considered one continuous Kiddush, although physically they're 2 days, but since they're in close proximity, Yom Tov leading into Shabbos, it's one continuous Kedusha entity, Zman of Kedusha, and therefore technically you can be Mevashel from one day to the other. So this addresses the Torah concern. So in Torah, there is no Malacha being done here. However, as we're going to see in the Gemara, the Rabbanan were concerned about cooking on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos. We'll provide two reasons for this, and therefore they say, don't be Mevashel, B'tchila, on Yom Tov for Shabbos, unless you do something to mitigate that concern. Okay, now what is that Erev Tavshilin? Cooking something before Yom Tov and setting that aside as the Erev Tavshilin, that's considered the initiation of Shabbos preparation. Then when you proceed on Yom Tov itself to continue producing for Shabbos, that's really just a culmination, it's a conclusion of that preparation which has been initiated yesterday. That's the concept behind Erev Tavshil. So you're not really starting Shabbos preparations on Yom Tov, that you can't do. But simply to conclude, to finish the process which you had already begun yesterday, that you can do. So how much do you have to prepare? Rav Machlekes. B'shama Oimrim, Shnei Tavshil, two cooked dishes. So you have a menu going, you have something chashev. You start that before Yom Tov, that's considered a proper Haschala, which allows you to conclude on Yom Tov. Ubisal Oim Tavshil Echad. As long as you set aside one dish for Shabbos, that's enough. Vishavan, they both agree. Even Vishame would agree. Bedug, if you have a fish, Ubeitz Sha'alav, coated with egg. Shehen Shnei Tavshilin, that constitutes as two dishes. Achlai, Oishavad, suppose he set aside the Erev Tavshilin and it went missing. Or he ate it. Levashalav, Batchila, you can't use it to prepare for Shabbos. V'mishir menu kol, you have something left over. First Hashem say it's a kazayis. That's the minimum for a Erev Tavshilin, so mechal v'Shabbos, you can rely on it to allow you Shabbos preparation. Let's go over to Rashi on Tav. Yom Tov. Lo yivashal b'tchila. So unless you establish the Erev Tavshilin, you cannot go ahead and start preparing for Shabbos on Yom Tov. Lo yiz tchilas b'shulav yikur l'shem Shabbos. Elo? You can do for Yom Tov. I'm sure if you have anything left over, if you're lucky enough, here the Shabbos. Even without using a ploy, you can actually go ahead and prepare Yom Tov food and increase its quantity with Shabbos in mind. But otherwise, you can't just start something new for Shabbos unless you set aside something in advance. By the way, you know why Erev Tavshilin is called Erev? See, the kasha really. Because Erev Chatzeros is mixing. You're mixing all the residents together, creating a single residence in that chatzer, which allows you to carry throughout. Erev Tavshilin, why is it called Erev? What are you mixing together? So the rabbi asks this kasha, and he says, you're mixing together the Shabbos preparations with the Yom Tov preparations. So once you've begun preparing for Shabbos in advance, before Yom Tov, now when you sit down and do more on Yom Tov itself, it's not really considered unique Shabbos preparations because you've already begun the Shabbos preparations yesterday, so it sort of gets attributed, gets attached to today's preparations. It doesn't appear like you're ignoring Yom Tov, so to speak. It's sort of included in the melachos and food preparations of Yom Tov itself. That's why it's called Erev Tavshil. We mix up Tavshilin just as you can cook for Yom Tov, cook for Shabbos as well. All part of the same experience. Interesting pshat. Continues the Rashi, Ubeita Sha'olav. So all of Yisham require two Tavshilin, something of significance, but fish with an egg on it is okay. Shavitachon Beitza Ladak Shetzon Oisei, they would glaze the fish with some egg while they roasted it. That's called two Tavshilin. Ochle She'avad. Let's say the Erev Tavshilin goes missing. Koidim Shebishel Kol Tzarchei Shabbos, before he cooked for Shabbos, then you can no longer use the Erev Tavshilin. But if there's something left over, Semech Alav Levashel B'Shvilei. Continues the Gemara. Menon Emili, how do we know this concept of Erev Tavshilin? Now, of course, we're not looking for a Mokar Minat Torah, as we explained, it's only the Rabban. But where's the hint, Minat Torah? Amar Shmuel, the Makro Zohar Siyam Shabbos the Kachay. We learn from here. Zohreyu? You meant to remember. Ma'acha Shabbala Ashtichay. Sometimes you're prone to forget about Shabbos. It's Yom Tov today. And you're busy with celebrating Yom Tov. Perhaps you'll ignore Shabbos. You're gonna consume your main food for Yom Tov, and not leave much over for Shabbos. So you meant to do something which will encourage you and keep you mindful of the fact that Shabbos is coming up, to ensure that you properly prepare for Shabbos. Says Rashi, three lines from the top, Gemara. Menonenu, where's the source for this concept? Says Rashi, lav dafka mikro yalev. Of course, we're not looking for a pasuk as a source of Erev Tavshil and Erev Tavshil and Rabbanu. Rather, vachka miboyli, heicha samchur Rabbanu. Rabbanu looked to find a support, a remez in the Torah. The pasuk says, Zohar. Zohar is Yom Shabbos Lekachi. What does Zohar mean? You're about to forget? No. Stay mindful. Ein zechira l'badav ha-mishtakeh. Something is meant to be forgotten. No, remember it. What's it referring to? Zohar is Yom Shabbos Lekachi. It says Rashi, Zohreyu ma'ach shabal ha-shkichay. At times, you might tend to disregard Shabbos. For instance, when Yom Tov arrives, Erev Shabbos. You're busy with Yom Tov, and disregard Shabbos. Shabbat Yom Tov Erev Shabbos, Karev Shabbos L'shtakech. Why? Machmas Yom Tov, Shemar B'sudas Hayayim. You're busy celebrating Yom Tov. Perhaps you're not going to leave enough over for Shabbos. By the time Shabbos comes, you're not in the mood. You're not going to be so careful in your Shabbos preparations. V'shircha Kosev. Torah comes and tells us, be careful. L'zachar. No. Don't ignore Shabbos. So this provides the support for the concept of Erev Tavshilin. Why? K'shem'arev Erev V'tavshilin. By establishing the Erev, Nimtza She'zoichrei. You're going to keep Shabbos in the forefront of your attention. Sharei Eino Eisel Machmas Shabbos. Because once you start preparing for Shabbos, you'll stay on that track. You'll make sure to continue preparing properly for Shabbos. So this is the sort of makor. You're meant to do something to ensure that you prepare enough to cover Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. My time. So now, what is the real reason? What is the concern? Why is it that you may not cook on Yom Tov without an Erev? Amar Rava, k'dei she'yivroi r'mani yafal l'Shabbos. Without an Erev Tavshilin concern that I'll consume everything on Yom Tov. I'll leave something small over for Shabbos. But by the fact that he's leaving something in advance, he's setting aside something for Shabbos before Yom Tov arrives. He's indicating that you're going to be mindful of the fact that Shabbos arrives after Yom Tov. And make sure to be boirer, money yafel for Shabbos, set aside a respectable portion for Shabbos. Money yafel for Yom Tov, and likewise a money yafel, a nice portion for Yom Tov. So he makes sure that he'll allot properly for both occasions. So that's what the Erev is meant to do. By setting aside something before Yom Tov, what he's saying is, don't get carried away with Yom Tov and forget Shabbos. Let's start preparing for Shabbos now. And that will keep us mindful all throughout Yom Tov. Rav Ashi Amar, unlike the previous pshat, Rava's pshat, that the point of Erev Tavshilin was to facilitate Kavod Shabbos, we're concerned about ignoring Shabbos, as Rav Ashi, no. It's actually meant to benefit Yom Tov. Rav Ashi Amar k'dei she'yomru, the point of setting aside the Erev Tavshilin is that people will now realize, look, ein oifen miyom tov l'Shabbos. If not for the Erev, I couldn't prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos. It's only the Erev which allows me to do so, right? But otherwise I can't. Of course. You can't prepare on Yom Tov for a weekday. So the point of the Erev is to protect the dignity and the honor of Yom Tov. Because if we simply allow you to freely engage in Shabbos preparations on Yom Tov, you're running the risk of a fellow not differentiating and saying, look, I can cook today for tomorrow. Be it Shabbos, be it a Sunday. Therefore, make the Erev Tavshilin, which makes you mindful of the fact that you're not preparing Yom Tov for another day. It's only because of the Erev, which pretty much initiated the Yom Tov, the Shabbos preparation, that allows me to continue, conclude on Yom Tov. I'm not really preparing for Shabbos, I'm just finishing the Achana which I already began. So according to Rav Ashi, it's to protect the covenant of Yom Tov. Let's go over to Rashi. Let's pick up where we left off, which is 10 lines from the top. My timer, says Rashi. Lama tiknu erev. What's the point of the erev? What's the reason for it? Kruvade lav erev mishtoy. The passage that we quoted is certainly not coming to establish the din of erev. V'lav erev mishtamine. We don't see any mentioning of erev. That's machta ba'almu. It's just a support for the concept. But the real definition, the simple meaning of the pasuk, is a reference to kiddush. V'chi asa kro le kiddush hayemas zan mipsach zacher el ayin zochah shem sham lekatchoy is a mitzvah of kiddush. V'erev is only midrabon maro lezaken. So what's the reason? What triggered the concern that led to erev tavshil? Rabbi Kadesh Yivrer concerned about ignoring Shabbos. Metoyach shem arev. The fact that he establishes an erev in advance of Yom Tov, Zeichas HaShabbos, it highlights the fact that Shabbos is important to keep in mind. Ve'ena machalas hakol Yom Tov, rather than completing, than depleting his entire supply of food for Yom Tov. U'boyer manu lezeh, which will encourage him to allot a proper supply for Shabbos and proper supply for Yom Tov. So the point of the erev is to keep Shabbos in mind. Rav Ashi Amar, no, lo kavod Shabbos tiknu, it wasn't on account of kavod Shabbos, el kavod Yom Tov, to secure kavod Yom Tov. Why? K'dei sheyayimru, ey, naifim Yom Tov l'Shabbos, elem kein nischem b'yad yoyim, look, I can't even cook today for Shabbos, without that initiation from yesterday. And through the Erev, what happens is that, it's only called a Gemar, de'ein el kegoyim v'hoylach, I can finish what I started yesterday, but to start, I can't begin today. So Yom Tov is chashev. You don't use Yom Tov as a day of preparation for another day. Certainly if it's Yom Tov for a weekday, you can't prepare today for a weekday. So according to Rav Ashi, it's coming to secure and safeguard the Kedusha of Yom Tov. Now it's interesting, if we go back to the pasuk that we mentioned, Benan Emili Zochash Yom Sabbath Kachoy, which as Rashi explained, provided an asmachta to Erev Tavshilin, let's just stop and think for a second. We just had two reasons, Rav and Rav Ashi. How do they both fit in the pasuk? The pasuk says, look, at times you might forget about Shabbos if you're so busy with Yom Tov. No, keep Shabbos in mind. Make sure you have enough food for Shabbos. So that works with Rav's pshat. Erev Tavshilin was there to protect Shabbos. But according to Rav Ashi, it was just the opposite. It was to protect the covenant of Yom Tov. So how does it work with the Pasuk? Remember Shabbos when you're about to forget it. The point is not to remember Shabbos, the point is to remember Yom Tov. So the Ran explains, it can work even according to Rav Ashi. Rashi says, the point of Erev Tavshilin was, don't cook on Shabbos for Yom Tov. Right? Because it might lead you to cook on Yom Tov for a week. Don't cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Because it might lead you to cook on Yom Tov for a week. Unless you make the Erev Tavshilin, as we explained. So that's what the Pasuk means. Since you may not start the cooking process on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So in this case, when Yom Tov leads into Shabbos, Shabbos is pretty much forgotten. It's off the table. Because you may not prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So it's Bala Ashkicha. It's going to be forgotten. So we see the Pasuk is alluding to this concept. It is an Isser to prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos, unless you go ahead and establish this Erev, which allows you. Okay, so we have two reasons. Rava was so that you leave ample supply of food for Shabbos. Rav Ashi says, to safeguard the integrity of Yom Tov. Tonight, let's take a look at our mission. Oy, setav shalom Erev Yom Tov, v'semech alav l'Shabbos. How do you make the Erev? Set aside some Tavshil before Yom Tov, and you rely on that. You build on that to continue preparing for Shabbos. B'shlemel Rav Ashi. Now this works according to Rav Ashi. What's the point of the Erev? So people will say, well, Ein oifen mi Yom Tov l'Shabbos. without the Erev, I may not prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So that will secure the covered, safeguard the integrity of covered Yom Tov. So according to that pshat, I understand the Mishnah. Hainad me'erev Yom Tov in. Why is to prepare the Erev before Yom Tov? Yom Tov, like, not Yom Tov itself. Right, that's the whole point. To show, to highlight that Yom Tov cannot prepare for Shabbos. If you began before Yom Tov, so you're just completing that process. You started preparing for Shabbos in advance. You're just completing the process. So of course the Erev has to be established before Yom Tov. If you wait till Yom Tov, it's pointless. Ela l'Rava. However, according to Rava's pshat, what was Rava's pshat? I want you to remember Shabbos. I want you to make sure that you don't consume everything on Yom Tov. You leave a mana yafel of Shabbos. Ma'ayim erev Yom Tov. So why dafka before Yom Tov? I feel Yom Tov nami. It can be just as effective if you set aside something on Yom Tov. For instance, before you sit down to have your Yom Tov meal, set aside something for Shabbos, which will keep you mindful of the fact, look, eat with moderation, eat with discipline. Make sure to allot something chasha for Shabbos as well. And Echanami says, well, you're right, according to Rava, technically, the Erev Tavshilin can be done even on Yom Tov itself. Elo Gzera Shema Yivshad is concerned that he might disregard it, might forget about it, because he's busy with Yom Tov celebration. Chacham establish a set procedure, do it before Yom Tov, to ensure compliance. V'tana Maislo Mihacha. Although we had a mocker for Erev Tavshilin from Zohar, Yom Shabbos Lekachai, in the following brisa we find that the Tana used a different source for Erev Tavshilin. This is a pasuk in the Midbar. When the man arrives on Friday, make sure to prepare it for Shabbos. Ei sasher toifu eifu. Whatever you have to bake, bake today. Ve sasher tevashelu. Vashelu. Cook what you need to cook. Why does the pasuk have to say Ei sasher toifu eifu. Tevashelu, vashelu. Say simply, you know what? Today, bake and cook. Why the repetitive lashon? Eifu, teifu, vashelu, vashelu. Mikanam or Blazer learns from here. This is a marker, a source, a remez, a hint for Erev Tavshil. Ein se'ofin el ha'afu. We're speaking that as Friday. Right? So if it's Yom Tov, Friday and Yom Tov, you can't bake for Shabbos el ha'afu unless you already have a baked item set aside before Shabbos. For aside before Yom Tov, as an Erev Tavshil, in which case today's baking is just a conclusion of that process. Ve'im mevash, nor can you cook on Yom Tov for tomorrow for Shabbos, Ela al mavusho, unless you have something set aside beforehand. Mikan samchu, this is a raya. Mikan sam chachamim, later tavshul min atira, this is a rem as a source of support for erev tavshul. Tana rabbanim, mas Rabbi Lezer, the story involving Rabbi Lezer, she yoyishiv edoyrish kol yom kuloi bilchus Yom Tov. He was sitting a whole day, this was Yom Tov, and giving a shir on hilchus Yom Tov. Suddenly, the first batch of people got up and went out to celebrate Yom Tov, to have their meal. They left the middle of the drash. Rabbi Lezer wasn't too happy with that. Omar, he declared, hello, these fellows who left so early, Bali Pitsin. They're going to their pits in their large barrels, vats of wine. They have a lot to do today. That's why leaving so early. Okay, Kashnia, when the second group got up to leave, Omar, he said, oh, halalu bali chavis. These fellows apparently have barrels filled with wine. You know, a lot of time to take care of it. Gashlishis, the third group got up. Omar, he said, okay, these fellows waited out a little bit. Halalu bali kadin. Apparently their wine supply isn't so plentiful. They just have pitchers of wine. That's why they left so late. Kasravias. Next group gets up to leave. Omar, he says, halalu bali gina. They have small containers of wine. Kaschamishis. When the fifth group got up to leave, Amar alolu bali koises. Oh, these only have cups of wine, so they don't have much to do today, and that's why they lingered. Once the sixth group got up to leave, that was really emptying out. Amar, he said, alolu bali meirin. He says, these fellows are deserving of a klola. He wasn't happy with the fact that his shear was totally depleted now. Nosan ene b'tamidim. So now he turned to the remaining tamidim sitting there. Now they figured just the opposite, that he wasn't happy about the fact that they deprived themselves of Simchas Yom Tov. He wasn't happy with those who remained behind, who lingered. He should have left early to do Simchas Yomtiv. So his chilu pnei mishtana, they started changing colors. They were all embarrassed, and the fact that they're sitting around and the Rebbe's not happy about it. Amar lehem, so Rebbe turns to them, Rabbi Yisai, no, you're getting the wrong impression, just the opposite. Bonai, my children. Loi lechem ani oimer, no, I'm not complaining about you sitting here. I'm actually pretty proud of you. They held out this long. Elala, lo l'sheyatsu. I'm upset about those that left to engage in Sudas Yomtiv. Why? Here they have Torah, eternal sustenance, and they're going to engage in food and drink. I know it's Yomtiv, but isn't this way better? Shemanichem chay olam. They disregard eternal life. Torah. V'oyiskim b'chay yisho. And engage in just temporary time-related activities. Sudas Yomtiv. Physical engagement. B'shas p'tirosim. Eventually, when the Talmidim actually left to have their meal, later on after the Shir, Amar lahem, so the letter tells them, don't worry, go enjoy yourself. Lechu, this is a pasuk in Nehemiah, Lechu, ichlam hashmanim, shesamam takim, go have your food, your delicacies, v'shilchu manais lein nachan loy, and go look out for somebody who doesn't have what to eat and send him. Ki kodesh hayom adonenu, v'al ta'atzvu, don't be sad, tichedvas Hashem imu uschem, Hashem's joy, being joyous with Hashem, engaging in Simchas Yomtiv, is your strength. So encourage them to engage in Simchas Yomtiv once the learning was done. Now, how do I understand this Gemara? Amar, let's go back. So he wasn't happy about those that left the Shir. Shemanichan chayon. They disregarded, they abandoned eternal life. Vo'iskim chayishon, and engage in meals. Vo'simchas Yomtiv mitzvah. It wasn't just a mundane meal. Simchas Yomtiv, it's a mitzvah. Rav Lezer Tamei, because Rav Lezer follows his shita, the Amar Simchas Yomtiv Rishus, engaging in food and drink on Yomtiv is optional. The Sani, Rav Lezer Aimer, Ainly LaAdam B'Yomtiv. The only thing a person should be engaged with on Yomtiv is either one or the other. Ela Oy Eichel V'Shoise, if it's on a low madrega, food and drink, that's your Simchas Yomtiv. Oy Yeshiv V'Shoine, we should sit and learn. So depending on your spiritual persuasion. If you're up to eating and drinking, that's your simcha, go ahead. But otherwise, we expect higher of you. Sit and learn all day. That's a true chesed Hashem. That's a true simcha siyamtiv. Simcha sanasham, eternity. That's Rabbi Shua's opinion. Rabbi Lezer's opinion. It's one or the other. So these Talmidim, who he knew to be on a higher level, at least he thought so, expected more of them. Rabbi Shua, I may know. Compromise. Chelkeu. Split the yamtiv into two. Chesed Hashem, half. Is meant to be spent engaging with Hashem, davening, learning. V'chetzi lachem, the other half, and suda, eating and drinking. Amar b'yoychan, u'shnei mikro echadosh. Both shitas are based on the very same pasuk. Kos of echadoshim, we have one pasuk which says, atzeres Hashem alakecha. Yom Tov is meant for bonding with Hashem. Spiritual experience only. V'kos of echadoshim, we have another pasuk which says, atzeres t'ilachem. It's meant for your own personal pleasurable experiences. Lachem, physical experience. Okay, then, how do we resolve this apparent conflict? Rav Lezer Savar, he says, it's one or the other. Pick your choice. Oy kud l'Hashem, or entirely dedicated to spiritual matters, davening and learning. Oy kud l'Hashem, or completely dedicated to physical experiences. Pick your choice. It's one or the other. Rav Yishua Savar, it's not all or nothing. They work together very well. Chalkeyu, chetzi l'Hashem, chetzi l'Hashem, half the time learning Adam, half provide physical satisfaction, what comes together, which joins together and bonds with the spiritual experiences of Yom Tov. It becomes all one package. That's called Simchas Yom Tov. Now, the pasuk says, go send monies, portions of food, la'ein nochen loy. My la'ein nochen loy. To a person that doesn't have it prepared. What do you mean? It's Yom Tov. Go prepare food, go cook. Amar Rav Chizda l'mish lo yiniach eruv tavshilin, referring to a fellow who didn't make an eruv and he can't cook today. So him, you meant to send some food. Ikadam is another version of this halacha. Mish lo yihayalei l'niach eruv tavshilin. When it says l'aynach aloi, it's referring to a fellow who lo yihayalei l'niach eruv tavshilin. He had no option. He was totally preoccupied by Erev Yom Tov. He didn't have the ability to do it. So have compassion on him and provide him with his needs. Ah, v'l mish lo yihayalei. But if you know this fellow could have done Erev Tavshilin and failed to do so by his own choice, he's negligent. Don't send him anything. Don't enable this type of behavior. The pasuk continues, Ki chedvas Hashem hi mu'uschem. What does that mean? My ki chedvas Hashem hi mu'uschem. Omer b'yechanim shem r'lezer. Rav Shimon. Omer makadosh baruch hu Yisrael. Hashem tells Yisrael, Bonai, my children, even if you're short financially, it's difficult to spend on Shabbos and Yatta. Don't worry, I'll compensate. I'll take care of you. Levu alai, even borrow on my account. V'kidshu k'dushas hayayim. And celebrate Yom Tov properly. Ve'aminu bi, and have full faith and trust in me. Bani Parei, I'll pay it back. Taisa says that's only provided that he knows that he has some collateral, has some assets, which he can back up his loan with. The Mashab brings an interesting pshat. He says that the point of the pasuk is to say, look, labu alai means spend. Not only borrow, it's not necessarily referring to dafka borrowing. Go ahead and have expenditures for Shabbos and Yom Tov. Do it without a concern. Don't worry about depleting your finances. I'll pay it up. We'll learn the Rosh Hashanah tomorrow. Shabbos and Yom Tov expenses not included in the regular budget allotted on Rosh Hashanah. Don't worry, says Hashem. Spend and spend, I'll take care of it. So another lesson from the same Amorah. Haroid says she is sky munachasav. If one wishes to maintain his assets, yita ben adar. You know what he should do? He should plant this eder tree, some type of chash of a tree from the cedar family. So you want to make sure that everybody remembers that this is your field, this is your property. Go ahead and plant this very famous, this prominent looking tree, which everybody will notice. And yeah, it will be established as your property. In which case, you'll be protected from robbery, etc. Shenemar Adar b'Marim Hashem. We have a remez in the pasuk that Adar is a lashon of Marim. It's high, it's secure, it's safe. Inami, another pshat, Adro Kishmei. You plant an Adar, and it results in securing your property, because the word Adar interpreted as Adar. What does that mean? Kedam Rishi, as people say, my Adar. Why is it called Adar, the Adar tree? The Kaimel Adari Dari, Adar's Lashon generations. This will ensure that you maintain your property, remains yours for generations to come. Rashi explains the fact that everybody knows you have this chash of a tree, you become famous and Yeshul Dover Koyla, she says, everybody knows, everybody sees it's your property, and if somebody dares to rob you of your property, you always come back and reclaim it because it's common knowledge. This is your property. Tanami Hachu, we have the same in a price. Soda Sheishba Eder, a field which features this type of tree. In Nixelis, won't be robbed. In Nixmesis, won't be forcibly sold. Uper Semish Tamron, and its produce will be safeguarded. Rashi explains, according to one shot, they used to use this eder tree to create a border around the field, which keeps it safe from intruders. Okay, so what do we learn today? Sending gifts on Yom Tov is mutter, according to be Shami, only if it's a Serach Yom Tov, according to be Silal, as long as it's roi to be used the way it is, even not on Yom Tov. For instance, by tefillin. We have one exception, sandalam is sumar, this pegged sandal which may not be worn on Yom Tov or Shabbos, cannot be sent around, lest you run the risk of having somebody actually wear it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Regarding wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, typically you don't, but to keep it shomer you're allowed to. If it's completely shomer as is, leave it alone. If it's completely exposed, you could even pick it up, put it on, and bring it home. If it has one element, not the other. It's shomer from klovim, but not from ganavim. Says Abaye, well, to pick it up, we don't allow. But if you wear and get it ready, just leave it on until you get home. We learned about Erev Tavshilin, which allows you to continue the preparations, Shabbos preparations on Yom Tov. So once you initiate it before Yom Tov, you can continue on Yom Tov itself. Going to be Shabbos, you need two Tavshilin. Going to be still one's enough. What is the reason for Erev Tavshilin? Rabbi says, to ensure Kavod Shabbos, what the Erev does is it keeps you mindful of the fact that Shabbos is coming up. You have to prepare for it, anticipate it. Don't use up everything for Yom Tov. Kavod Rav Ashi is come to protect Kavod Yom Tov. It's sending home a message. You can't do things on Yom Tov for a weekday. If you can't even do it for Shabbos, certainly not for the weekday. Only if you make an error, in which case you're just concluding the achana which you began yesterday. How does one fulfill Simchas Yom Tov? According to Reb Lezer, Kulu Lashem or Kulu Lachem? According to Yeshua, half and half. Chetzi Lashem, Chetzi Lachem. You know, Mishnah Berurah writes about the chazonim, that a marech betfilah, having a good time at the expense of the gila, have to endure their hours and hours long tefillah. He says, that's loy chetzi Lashem and loy chetzi Lachem. Kol tov to you and much atzlacha.